Welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode number 98, the show where we talk about Linux and Linux-related things. It could be a Linux article, it could be new Linux software, new Linux news, all kinds of cool stuff. And the man who brings the goods and schools us on the subject is the man, a Linux maven, door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from door-to-doorgeek.com. What's up, Door?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm not doing too bad. I'm looking for a new place to live. This whole, you know, just mess of the last couple of weeks really turned me off to my house. I just don't like it anymore. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like it's home. I don't want to give the landlord any more money. I don't want to deal with my property manager. It's amazing. I wanted to be here. Now I just don't. So it sucks trying to find a new place to live. I really don't want to move, right. But as a matter of principle, I think I'm 90% sure I will.
Well, moving's painful, period. So it has to be something you really want. And you say this last week, it's been going on almost a month, I'll say.
For no floor, yeah.
For the water and this and that. And
the no hot water for 2 weeks, no floor for a month.
Nuts.
That's not acceptable.
No, it's not. Absolutely not.
But my troubles aren't as bad as yours were today. I had some ear problems.
I had a ear infection. Last night, it kept me up. I woke up every, you know, seemingly 20, 30 minutes. Just
you saw the doc, though, and you're okay now?
I went to the doc, and I don't like telling the doctor what's going on. You know, that's not my job. I'm not a doctor. So I said, I think I might have an ear infection. And then she said, why? I explained pain here. Da-da-da-da-da. She basically just looked in the ear. Yep, you have an ear infection.
You just gave her the answer. You should have made her work.
Well, I want to get out of there. I mean, I don't like...
I know what you mean. Hey, most people know what's going on with their bodies more than the doc. I mean, the doc knows how to handle it, but, you know, people, their bodies are a part of them. You know, they have an intimate relationship with their body, so they're usually pretty spot on. So, yeah. If you think you got an ear infection, you probably got an ear infection.
Yeah, and, you know, not trying to sound dumb, but I've literally had them every other year at, like, worst kind of thing. Since I was a child, since like 14 years old that I remember, just,
wow. Yeah.
So I just deal with it, live with it, cry about it later, and then, you know, beg for meds.
Don't take too many.
Yeah. Well, they only give me, just normal pain med and then one antibiotic. And I tell you now, the pain med, I don't go out of my way to take a pain med. I make sure I need the pain med, so there's no chance of me overdoing them.
All right, good.
And they're both white, which means I found out in medical terms that means the weakest possible thing they can be.
Really?
Yeah, white is weak.
I never heard of that. Interesting. Okay, well, let's talk about some Linux today. What do you want to go over? How do you want to start off the show?
Well, I honestly want to first... again, thank everybody on Kickstarter. As we record this, there's 16 days to go. Again, just for the people who didn't catch it, I asked for $500 for basically motherboard, RAM, CPU, backdrop, and maybe some extra lights. And I was hoping to maybe squeeze out a webcam of semi-quality. Well, we're up to $2,425.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, and I didn't get a chance till that night we last recorded to actually unbox and set up the second computer I got.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first computer, this is what I know now. Sandy Bridge, i5 with turbo, I think 3.3 gigahertz. The SSD, I was wrong. I believe it's a 80 gigabyte SSD. 16 gigs of RAM, Asus motherboard, which I've only bought Asus for the last 12 years because everybody else burnt me because they're crap. That BIOS is EUFI.
That's what I figured. Right. Must be.
Open up the other box, set it up. It has EUFI as well. Ivy Bridge, 3.5 gigahertz processor with turbo.
Oh my God. Jeez.
16 gigs of RAM. With a 2 terabyte hard drive, again, Asus motherboard built in. That's karma. You know what I mean? Both of them just happened to pick
a... Well, these guys know their stuff.
True, true. So, two beastie machines, and if you notice, you don't hear them. They're both nice and quiet, too.
Yeah, man, what a nice setup.
Yeah.
And that's not even with the Kickstarter. So that's just generosity from the folks.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance yet. I can't, not until August the 9th, to do anything. And I will say now, super quick rundown. I'm going to ding Steve C to see if I can afford when everything's said and done. Because I have to prioritize everything. Do I need a new mic? Should I get a new mic? Should I look at getting a new mic? Two. Should I look at getting a new mixer? Can I look at getting a new mixer? And if so, what kind? I'm guessing the noise gate. I don't have to worry about that. USB audio interface. I'm guessing I don't have to worry about that. The backdrop. I actually got a really good link for what cost $100. Hear me out. It can go 10 feet wide, 8 feet tall, with three different colored backdrops. That to me is only an option. I'm still going to go for the PVC home built backdrop because that's all I really need.
I don't know. A nice solid backdrop might be the way to go, Dor. Do you pull it down like a screen, like a movie screen?
No, it looked to me more like a photographer's backdrop where you have the color and then you can put over a different color or put over. And it looks like it came with white, black, and green.
Interesting. So, yeah, that might be a good... The PVC is... It's a little wobbly, you know? I would go with something more sturdy.
Well, the best thing about the PVC is it might be more modular. So if I need to take it down for a reason or take it to OLF or take it to Northeast, I could do that. That's the only logic behind that one.
And anybody's wondering, we were talking about making a green screen frame out of PVC, which I used to do back in Philly. You just like hook a bunch of plastic pipes together and you get a frame and then you put a green sheet over it.
Right.
But
well, for these shows, I'd probably just keep it a white background.
Yep.
Just because simplicity, I don't need green, I don't need anything fancy, just that. And then after that, I am going to get a decent video card in one of these computers. They purposely left it with no video card after the Kickstarter started. And they said, well, Dor can fill in that gap because, you know, they didn't want to obligate me to a specific type of video card. They didn't know if I liked AMD better or whatever.
You know, yeah, ATI. For your video editing, it's going to be killer to have a nice card.
Yes. Okay. Now, after that, I'm going to get at least a moderately good camera, webcam, camcorder. Don't know which of the three yet, but I want to be able to have one next to me filming an Android device because I don't have Android videos, but I need it to be near, you know, very low latency into the computer, good quality. So when I'm showing off the device, the screens, everything, it looks good. So that's something else. The desk is still going to be a solid wood core Dor because it's 8 feet by 3.5 feet or something, which should fit in that corner nice, and then I'll move everything around.
Okay.
And I don't know what else. I mean, I literally have to list and prioritize what is more important to the video series because that's what it's for. The side benefit is everybody on the podcast listening or watching should see a side benefit.
We'll talk. I have some ideas.
I know. Trust me. And I'm purposely waiting until that day becomes closer because anything you tell me now, I'll forget in a week.
Plus, the Kickstarter funds will cover my consulting fees. Barely.
Well, yeah, and I'll be happy to compensate you in person at OLF.
Nice.
Okay.
Just kidding, by the way, guys. Just kidding.
Well, he wouldn't let me give him any money anyway. Okay. The basic actually is nothing more than a quote via John Miller on Google Plus, really nice guy. And he posted a quote from Mahatma Gandhi, which I can't pronounce, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I'm not a quote guy. I almost hate seeing in my social feed quotes from other people. Okay. I don't care what other people say, you know, whatever. But this was one, as soon as I just saw the first two or three words, I said, well, let me read the rest of this, okay? And it is, I quote, live as if you were to die tomorrow, learn as if you were to live forever.
Nice.
Those are very good words to live by. I personally ad lib, share, like that's the only way you'll be fulfilled. I don't know.
Yeah, that's good. That's good too.
So I really do. I like Google Plus because of the level of intelligence, I'll say, on average, from the people that I see on there, the content they publish.
Compared to other social networking sites?
Well, I'm not going to say grandmothers and 12-year-olds cannot be smart. I'm not going to say soccer moms cannot be smart. It just seems like the people I see on Google Plus and follow just like learning and sharing and talking tech.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm there and I'm there for good. And I forgot to go to the Podnuts Live. So there could be people in there. And I'm just not seeing them or.
There is.
So I'm just a slacker.
We got Red Dwarf, Mass Kill BDX, guys I can't even pronounce, and PC Freddy.
Ah, Big Freddy. Gotta say, I like hearing PC Freddy back on the cast. He had severe power issues. On Geeksters, he was off for a while. Not by choice.
Oh, sucks.
Yeah. Just make sure I'm not logged in. Not doing a pull of Steve D. Oh, wait, I already am because I'm in the middle of the show and I'm logging in. But that's okay. Okay, Gary, go talk.
It wouldn't be a Steve D unless you couldn't figure out how to log in.
Damn, they won't let me log in. Yeah, I remember.
This Justin chat is just far too complex.
Yeah. Right. Okay, first actual story is really happened 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I wanted to comment on it. And it comes partially from what other podcasts say. And PC Freddy, you're there. I don't know if I made it clear enough. It was not what I left them a voicemail. Same exact topic. It was not pointed at Kevin. Kevin Adair, co-host, was reading off the screen. Somebody else saying, basically, Thunderbird is dead. Thunderbird is dead. Thunderbird is dead. Okay. A lot of people are saying that. I, however, see this in a completely different light. Okay. Basically.
Yeah. I thought we talked about this already.
I didn't see it in the notes.
I heard you talk about this. Was it on Android App Addicts? I think we did this last week.
Really?
You were saying Thunderbird's not dead because, and you compared it to Outlook Express, and you said, you know, what is there to add? I mean, if it's stable and working, why would you want to gunk it up with bloat? Like, it's just, it doesn't really need to be updated too much. So that was what we were kind of got into. I remember talking about it.
Well, it isn't in the notes for 96 or 97.
That's weird.
I know. Are you sure you weren't just listening to me just go off and rant about something after a cast or something? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was on this show. Okay. But.
Well, then I did a horrible job of taking the notes. So now it's official.
Okay. Well, do you want to do it or not?
Yeah, just a quickie. Okay. Thunderbird is ceasing feature updates on Thunderbird. Okay. Ceasing feature updates. Security updates are still coming. Being number one. So it's still completely safe to use. In my eyes, email actually has not changed in over 10 years of what you do with it, how it comes down, and how you use it. Granted, we've had IMAP, that's newer. But there's really nothing new about this utterly archaic mode of communication that works just fine how it is, I'll say. I agree. And since this announcement, I started to use Thunderbird because I don't want to use an application that handles my back and forth with other people that constantly gets updates and changes and GUI changes and stuff that can break. I want something stable. To me, this should say Thunderbird is now at a stable platform. Only security updates to come.
Now, why don't you just use Gmail in the browser?
Don't get me wrong. I do. I have doordoorgeek@gmail, ssvalentino@gmail, stephencmclaughlin@gmail, podbrewers@gmail, linuxbasics@gmail, droidnation@gmail.
Can you forward them all into one account?
The problem becomes then I get an email from someone, and unless I explicitly look at the two, I don't realize this is not just to me. This is to all of podbrewers.net. And I want to make sure when I answer those kind of emails, I make sure everybody else also gets that reply. And when it's a separate, totally separate account, to me, it just seems more obvious who I need to send this back to.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah, because in that one Gmail interface, too often I just hit reply, boom, 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 go. And then a week later, someone else will reply, and they're like, well, yeah, Thor sent me a reply. Didn't you see it? And no, because Thor's an idiot. You know? So, to me, there are certain advantages about using a standalone email client. Granted, they're not much, and they're not great, but there are certain little advantages. Because, like, on my Android right now, I literally have 8 email accounts in there. Granted, one of them is just fluffery. I don't really get a lot, but it's there. So, I'm going to try it here for a couple weeks. I am kind of like PC Freddy, I'll say this. I'll use Thunderbird for 3 to 6 months, get sick of it, go back to the web interface. Use that for 3 to 6 months, get sick of it, go back to a different desktop app.
Really? You're like that with email? I'm so addicted to the Gmail web interface. I mean, I use everything on there, the stars and everything. It's my workflow. I can't change it.
I do like email applications that acknowledge the label structure and the stars for Gmail.
Yeah. Without stars, I'd be screwed.
I need to use them more and acknowledge when I have used them. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now a quick touch about the Kickstarter stuff. Okay. I have 2 desktops. Okay. I would honestly like to have one more production computer. Cause here's the thing. When you do these things, you were the first one to really say out loud to me, Steve, you need to, isolate a task if you can to a given computer. So you have one over here holding the talk, this one over here showing the desktop, this one over here streaming it up. And that's just so if one fails, the whole thing doesn't go and fall apart.
Not only that, I didn't really do it because of failure. I did it because I wanted to be nice to my computers and not just overtax one. Like I wanted to make sure everything ran smooth. So if each computer was doing its own task, it would run smooth. And that is how I've had the best success in my podcasting rig and doing all of my stuff that I've done. When I had it set up with that and my PreSonus audio interface with 4 different computers, it never failed. It just ran great. So I definitely think it's the way to go.
Right. Yeah. And I just like the fact that hypothetically, if I do something and it blows up, quote unquote, half an hour before the show, it's easier to get it back up and running.
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay. With that said, and having 2 ballistically screamer desktops, my logical next step is laptop. Okay. Between me and you and, you know, a couple of people here, I might talk about in weeks how a Linux vendor baited and switched me, I'll say. That's it for that one. So I was looking for any place else that would offer Linux hardware direct for sale. The last thing I want to buy is a Windows laptop and then put Linux on it. I want to feel like I'm not giving them any money. I'm not giving them any higher stats. I'm not helping a vendor to think, yes, you should be selling Windows computers. I would really like to support someone selling a Linux box direct.
So you don't want to give money to Microsoft? Yeah, I understand.
Directly
or indirectly. I'm asking, because I have a laptop in mind that will give Microsoft absolutely no money.
Oh, God. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not. You're not at all.
You keep setting me up for this.
No.
The MacBook Pro with Retina display.
Okay, listen.
All right, I'll stop.
No, you're not.
Stop. Hey, if you guys can razz me for the white iPad forever.
Who?
No, it's not you. It's not you. I'm just taking it out on
you. I know you are. Damn it. Okay.
I know.
A guy, I want to say it was Pat. Pat. I want to say his name is Pat Davila. He honestly put it much more colorfully, whatever, than this. But this is the gist of it, and I think this is honestly how I feel right now. I don't want to give money to any company where a part, a small part, a large part, or whatever, is going to a bunch of lawyers attacking or suing someone over something I personally think is absolutely ridiculous. Whether it's Microsoft on the patent of displaying images in a browser, or whether it's Apple saying we own the rectangle with the curved edges. You know what I mean? And yeah. Honestly, I do feel like in my heart of heart, that is true. I mean, you know, for every time you buy a product, you know, like, 20 cents out of that dollar or whatever goes to their budget. So they can go sue some more people over stuff that to me is pointless.
Yeah.
But that said, not every company's completely free of that. I mean, I understand that. My wife just got a Droid 4 phone, Motorola. Granted, Google just bought them, but last I know, now they also give every time you buy a Motorola product, a portion of that money goes to Microsoft.
Okay.
Or Android product from them. Oy vey. I digress. Okay. Now that we're done that.
So what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Are you still looking for a company, or you have somebody in mind?
I kind of have someone in mind. I have talked to them. They seem really nice. And it's a question of, after I get the backdrop, because to me, the laptop would be pure luxury for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to get the necessities first. And the laptop will be probably halfway or lower than halfway down that list. And I would honestly like to take a true Linux laptop to OLF and sit it on my stand and open it up to let people see this is not a Dell. This is not a Sony. This is, you know, something else.
I guess.
Lead by example. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's yeah. What I'm
so I found this
very
list.
Cool.
Okay. Which I, obviously, the number of people or places or distributors with Windows or Mac computers is enough to wrap around the world. Okay, we all know that. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. I was honestly shocked to find a list this long of people selling genuine Linux computers, and this one's at Tux Mobile, TUXMOBIL.org.
I'm surprised too, and this is a big list.
Yeah, and if you go back to their main site, they do actually separately focus on laptops or notebooks, PDAs, cell phones, media players, ebooks, GPS, wearables, nudge nudge, components, add-ons, software, and then they have like a how-to section.
What's a wearable?
Oh, thank God you asked. For instance, Linux wristwatches.
Okay.
Which I would kind of geek out at a Linux wristwatch. I'm not going to lie. That would be like, you know, cool. But I got to stop looking. Okay. The laptops and notebooks. Here's the thing I really like about it is this list also tells you the region of the world. So listeners, if you're in Japan, you can go through here and you can find Japanese resellers. So you don't have to pay shipping from America. Spain, Germany, the Netherlands, Switzerland, France, UK, Finland, on and on and on. Thailand. I mean, everywhere it seems like there's somebody. Now, granted, I did go through a good amount of these links, and I'd say 2% of them were either dead or the end company slightly change their focus, I'll say.
Mm.
You know? But I was really happy to find
there's not a lot of money in Linux laptops yet, I guess.
Well, the one bad thing about Linux laptops is, here's the sad, honest truth. it's going to cost more. The exact same hardware from Dell that would cost you $800 from another one of these companies will cost you $1,000. And it's because, you know, A, they're selling Windows, so typically they're able to sell thousands and thousands of them a month, which means when they buy their product, they buy more at a whack, which means they pay less. Two, because of the Windows structure, McAfee, Norton, all these companies can pay them a little something-something to put a little trial wear on that box there.
I see.
So there's a couple things like that going against the Linux hardware manufacturer. I will say, with that said, I would really like to say I am helping someone out get bigger and better, and at the same time, only supporting what I would want to support, kind of thing.
Good.
But of course, we'll have to wait and see. I might not be able to do anything.
And we'll see.
Yeah. Now this one, I honestly felt like I had to show you, Steve, even though this is technically an AAA kind of link. I don't know why I said it three times. but we mentioned in the past Boot2Gecko. Right now, iOS utterly closed interface on a mobile platform. BlackBerry utterly closed. Windows utterly closed. Android appears open, but it still has closed components. But more importantly, they act like it's a closed product. Okay. Mm-hmm. Open source products and free software products typically have interactions. And what I mean is they start something up and then other people can download it and give back feedback or help with tweaks and then eventually build up to a solid version and then they release. Then they start all over again and they get feedback.
What does Google just think that they have the best engineers in the world working on it? Who can actually add and make it better than they can?
Well, right? That, and to quote Jonathan Adu, they basically close the doors in-house, work on it. And then when they feel it's done, they just throw it over the wall. And then once it's over the wall, they have nothing to do with it again. And then the community can do stuff to it. So they're really not open source friendly with Android, even though a fair amount of Android is technically open source.
Right.
Step in Boot2Gecko. Boot2Gecko is by Mozilla. Everything Mozilla does, from what I've been led to believe, you can download the source code to it. Doesn't matter what it is. Even their website, even how their website works, is completely open source. Okay, that's a lot. Well, Boot2Gecko, they are trying to honestly put out there as a mobile competitor to iOS, Android, BlackBerry's dead, who cares, and Windows Mobile, which should be dead if they didn't have a multi-billion-dollar company backing them. So they're trying to do something. Now, we talked about it, and me and you both were kind of like, okay, yeah, sounds great, but can it really go forward? And I obviously forgot to put this link in the notes, Steve, so it helps when I put the link from YouTube back into the notes. I know that was really... Okay, this is really live watching it booting and running on a computer, on a phone, sorry. I gotta say, I like the idea of this a lot. I have to see if it actually grows into something. The one huge absurd plus to this versus any other phone operating system is the minimum requirements are absurdly less. Which,
what about apps?
Well, okay. Boot2Gecko is HTML5. So anything that can run with HTML5 can run on this.
Web apps.
I do not believe this one can take advantage of Google APK files that's ties in. So it's going to have to, well, they do have Angry Birds there. Well, that's an HTML5. Huh. I don't know. I'm not going to lie, Steve.
And what about my GPS?
What about your GPS?
Is there navigation on this?
There's no doubt in my mind there is going to be navigation, there's also no doubt in my mind it's not going to be Google turn-by-turn navigation, which I will say blows every other navigation I've ever seen away. Maybe I'm biased, but, you know.
Now, I could install this on my Evo tonight?
No. I don't even have to look. I'm very sure you can't. The only platforms I want to say I've seen this installed on was Google Nexus devices, which are developer phones, which typically have a little bit more access to the raw hardware than the standard phone.
Damn.
I don't expect it to be ready to be put on other devices for 4 months at minimum. I would like to believe after the first of the year, they might actually have something ready to display. But, you know.
It looks cool. Very clean. I like the interface.
Yeah. Now, this next one, Steve, I have to talk about only because I have to talk about and because I didn't have another show to talk about this on. Okay. To be honest, I love the functionality of my phone in my pocket, okay, because it's a computer. It's a full-blown computer. The thing I don't like about it is to get from point A to B sometimes takes a little bit longer than I feel it should, and it doesn't matter what the phone is either, okay? I don't care if it's a 16-core device with, you know, 2 gigs of RAM of, and all, it doesn't matter. You still got to, like, open it up, unlock it, go here, search for IMDb, the Expendables, go there, then, it takes a lot of stuff, takes a lot of work to get there. Sometimes people just want Wikipedia in their pocket.
Yeah.
I would like to have Wikipedia in my pocket. it's a product called Wiki Reader Pocket Wikipedia. Originally $99. I don't know who would pay that money. But right now it's $38.99. Last week it was down to 20 something on sale.
Wow.
And it looks like you can buy them new for as low as $20. I think they're from individuals, not from stores. I will say the only downside about this I've seen so far, I believe you have to update it from a Windows computer. So that's one bad thing, but it is touch screen, full keyboard, no network. It all gets loaded onto the card. Basically, entirety of Wikipedia gets loaded on a card.
Oh, it doesn't even use internet?
Doesn't need the internet. It's all...
And then when you just got to constantly update it?
I want to say they say twice a year you can get updates for it. And I believe the updates were free.
That's a pretty cool idea, actually.
I think it has its place. I would like to be able to just pull out and bang, I'm already on Wikipedia. Now all I have to search for is bath salts or...
You know, this is cool. But the problem with this is sometimes Wikipedia is not the best solution.
Oh, I know.
So I know. That's the only thing it sucks for. You know, if Wikipedia was so, you know... encompassing that it took everything, like you never had to do any other Google searching or anything, it'd be one thing, but I use Wikipedia sparingly, and if it's the best entry or search result, I use it. If not, then I use something else.
No, I always say it like this: no place is right about everything, and it doesn't matter where you go on the internet, they're always going to be wrong about something, whether it's a misspelling or just a blatant lie, something's going to be wrong. I take Wikipedia as always and only as being the first guidepost in my search. The only things I really quote unquote trust it for is like, give me a listing of all the Android 7-inch tablets. Yeah. I trust it because if it's wrong, who cares? It's just a little, I'm getting something.
Oh, yeah. I use it for lots of things, but sometimes it's not the best, or it's too complicated for some. When I'm looking for a simple answer, sometimes they get too deep in Wikipedia.
Yes, so. That's the truth.
But still, this is a cool thing, especially for a kid or something.
Right.
You know?
I would just like, you know, to pull it out the drop of a dime and say, oh, well, the guy who played Mermaid Man was, can't remember his name, but he died on this date in this year. He's not alive, you know? For a certain thing, I think it would work.
Is it Merman or Mermaid Man?
Mermaid Man. It was Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. Barnacle Boy was Dorf. Guy used to play Dorf, which you probably don't know, Steve. You're too young.
What's Mermaid Man? Is that a show? No.
On SpongeBob, two retired superheroes that are just retired and dang near.
Mermaid Man. That's hilarious. People. See, I don't have kids, so I missed the
Ernest Borgnine.
I missed the whole SpongeBob.
Annoyance in the chat, you're the man. Ernest Borgnine. He just recently died, and somebody says he's not dead. Yeah. I can pull out the Wikipedia in my pocket and say, boom, he did.
Gotcha.
Let's not talk about death anymore, Steve.
Okay, sounds good to me.
This is something else I'm going to talk about on this show, only because there's no place else to talk about it, okay? There's two links in this next one. The one hang-up I had about Google Plus, because I'm not a power user, was the ability to schedule a posting, okay? Podcasters especially need this kind of thing. There's almost no better, no easier way in my eyes to do these kind of things where you have to post something ahead of time or before time is to schedule it. I will say Hootsuite was the only reason I used Hootsuite was because I could schedule a posting to Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Google Plus API has limited functions, had limited people able to use it. Hootsuite was one of those people. Okay. So if you use Hootsuite to post to Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, amongst other many other places, you can now schedule it. So I can say, tune in to Android App Addicts Thursday night, Eastern Standard Time, podcast.com/live. I can put that in right now and tell it Google Plus this at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time Thursday.
Cool.
And it just does it. Okay. The second option is a thing called DoShare. DoShare is basically a web page. The bad thing about the DoShare is you got to install a plugin and leave that browser open when you want that to go out. With Hootsuite, it's all saved on the servers.
I see.
So I just wanted to throw those two tips out there. Oh, that's Hootsuite and DoShare. DoShare looks like it's two words.
Okay.
So.
Neat.
Yeah.
Good.
So I like it. And even if you're just a computer repair tech and you want to announce a sale or something like that, those are the kind of tools you need where you can focus more about the job at hand at that time versus putting out a social message.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, being able to automate things is key.
Yeah. Okay, now, almost every conversation I have seems like, every two or three conversations, seems like it comes back to zombies. Only because, well, they're zombies. I mean, I'm not even going to justify that. Now, if you can pronounce this thing, Steve, I'll give you money. It's the very first word in the posting at Boing Boing.
Byzantium.
Good. I'll go for that. I'll buy you a trinket, LLF. Byzantium is a bootable Linux with ad hoc wireless mesh networking. Perfect for the zombie apocalypse. It looks like this was announced at Hope. Hope is Hackers on Planet Earth conference.
Neat.
Which is cool. Super quick, what mesh networking basically is, hypothetically, let's say we're all on an island with no internet service at all. Okay? We have no connection to the outside world, but we all have computers and power. I know that's hypothetically, Steve.
Okay.
We can all boot into this. And basically, with our Wi-Fi adapters, create our own network, hands off,
I see.
Where we don't have to know TCP/IP and anything. Boot up, start it up. All of a sudden, my computer can talk to your computer, can talk to the other computer. It's basically literally a mesh, a network where things can flow from one end to the other.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, and I will say not excluding it only be to zombie apocalypses, this can be used in a great other places. For instance, OLF, because when you're in the building, your mobile signal will be horrible.
Oh.
So if we wanted to get a group of us together and we had to share files back and forth, we could just have mesh networking and just connect and share it over like that instead of worrying about passing around thumb drives or CDs or anything else.
Right, right. We'd all have to have laptops and boot into this Linux distro.
Well, there are other ways to implement it. This one is virtually hands-off where you just boot it up and it automatically starts into mesh networking and then you just connect. Where the okay. other one, you actually do need some configuring and some prepping.
Very cool.
And yes, I will say, DM Chris, the result could be Skynet. And if Skynet does come to fruition, it will be because of Linux. I've already said that. You got to take the good and the bad.
Yeah.
You know, you could,
it's true.
Another example of good and bad, I told Steve before the cast, I now have these two, I'm going to stop saying this any day now, two ballistic computers. I now can't be honest with anyone and say, you know, this runs great on old computers. I can't.
Plus, I know we're going to miss a couple weeks of the show because you'll be playing games on it or something.
I tried not to with only moderate success.
I know. You know what? I was actually looking at some laptops on Craigslist, and there was this one that I saw a demo tested on YouTube of, it's like a 17-inch i7, and the guy was playing Dirt 3 as a demo for showing frame rates. And I'm like, I want to play that game. And I haven't wanted to play a video game in a long time.
Right.
So I might be getting back into a little race car gaming myself.
I know. Now the level of online racing is getting to a point where it's really becoming doable and acceptable. Because for a while, certain sports games were just really hard to do online. You know?
Well, driving games... I don't know about anybody else, but I just get freaking killed. I get last place every time when I play online. Every time. These guys are just too good. They're too good.
Well, these kids.
I'm wondering how that would be. Yeah, these kids are just dominant. Really are. It's crazy.
Right.
I wouldn't get second to last. I would get last by a mile every time. Well,
I would get last, and after a week of playing, I would get next to last. Or
I got a little bit better. Took me longer than a week.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is one of the reasons why I, as a now older, I don't like saying that, older individual, don't like the crowd, the community, or the players on a lot of these really popular game systems. They're 14-year-old kids sitting there picking their nose, just sitting home all day playing games and doing nothing else.
Yeah.
That's my excuse why I'm not good at it.
No, it's true. I think it's true. They would beg to differ and say, well, we're young, we have better reflexes, which is probably good, true to a certain extent. Yeah. You know, their mental capacity is a little quicker, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I say it has nothing to do with their parents getting business class internet service. Nothing.
It's awesome.
Okay. This next one I wanted to talk about, and yes, we did talk about this one last week, Steve. Okay. This is part two. I wanted to purposely bring this back up, and it's called Cuttlefish. CUTTLEFISH. I will say I've almost had fun with this. The type of things you can do are really, I don't want to say unlimited, because of course they're limited, but there's not a lot of limits. I need to stop saying limits. You can, for instance, say, ready? When an application starts, and it's a certain application, starts, an application stops, Bluetooth is activated, Bluetooth is deactivated, Bluetooth device connected, you can point out which one. Bluetooth devices are disconnected, connected to a WAN, disconnected from LAN WAN, power cable plugged in or unplugged, screen is locked or screen is unlocked, USB devices plugged in or unplugged, and you can again point towards a specific piece of hardware.
So when any of those things happen, they trigger an event?
Well, they can trigger an event, and the reaction can be almost deeper choices.
Wow.
For instance,
so useful.
Yeah. For instance, you can say when my power is plugged in, turn on my Bluetooth. Or when my power is unplugged, to turn off my Bluetooth. But you can also link to certain applications like Pigeon. Pigeon IM, you can say when I'm connected via Pigeon, when I'm connected with power on, change my status in Pigeon. I know that's a little bit laser focused, but you can also do other things to mute volume, reboot, start a different application. So when my USB gets connected with the Lexicon Alpha, start up Audacity every time. I can say that.
You know, this is killer. This is very useful.
Yeah, I'll say it can get deep. It might not meet your exact need because, granted, we all have our own specific needs, but I think this is a really good first start for this application because it seems new.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see where that goes. Definitely is going to change the name, I bet. But
I'm not going to argue that. It'd be a fool. Okay, this next one was a real quick one I got from Tracy Holtz. He actually showed it to me like a month ago, but I kind of didn't pay a lot of attention because it seemed like it was way too business focused for me. And it's a site called Diskless Workstations.
Yeah, you got to say that name slow.
Yep. That's all I'll say. Yep. And I'll say the first thing about the site that almost made me not even want to look at it is because they have no favicon. favicon.ico.
Yeah, it's true.
So I thought initially this is not a real site. This is like some kid's backyard thing. Then I started, after Tracy said them again, I looked through the site and I'm thinking, no, this is definitely not. This is money. This is businesses who want to set up at least semi-high-end systems, especially for doing what's called terminal server. We talked a while ago about multi-seat. Multi-seat, you have one computer with two monitors, two keyboards, two mice.
Yeah.
This is kind of the same. It's typically called LTES.
LTSP?
LTSP. Good eye, because I don't see it.
Linux Terminal Server
Project. Thank you. Yes, thank you. This is almost the same thing, but expanded really for businesses, where you have one master server down the hall, which is a beast. Okay? And then the workstations that are connecting to it are very thin on hardware. Basically, it's a monitor, keyboard, mouse, and something, whether it be an eight-year-old computer or a specific piece of hardware that's not very powerful. That allows the company basically to, the more employees they have, the more money they can potentially save. Okay. I would like to put something between the ground floor where I'm at and upstairs for my family to watch, to where they don't necessarily have a desktop computer, but they could have either a multi-seat environment where my wife and my son can both be on the same computer at the same time with there only being one computer to worry about upgrading. Or breaking. Right. And then Tracy gave me the second link, and that is to a N Computing L2300 virtual thin client system for Windows and Linux VDI solutions.
Whew, VDI.
I take a breath after that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I know. VDI, all you got to know, VDI means virtual infrastructure. This basically small device that, to be honest, looks maybe a little bit bigger than a Raspberry Pi is your quote-unquote desktop computer. There's almost no processing done on it at all. It's all done back at the workstation.
I got you.
So technically speaking, I could get two of these $79 devices, hook them up with monitor, keyboard, and mouse, and put them upstairs, have a box down here acts as the server, and then my wife and my son can have what appears like their own computer.
And then you can just sit down here with the server and just screw around with
them. And purposely slow down their network traffic and say I'm doing a show. Sorry, call Fios. It isn't me, hon.
Call Fios.
Yeah, I know. But I just wanted to throw them out there, and I really want to thank Tracy for steadily feeding me really good information, because if you remember, Steve, when we were looking at the multi-seat stuff, the little computer things we were looking at were like $279.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's because I don't know where to look or what I'm looking for. Somebody like Tracy knows what he's looking for. He was able to find these things as low as $80. When it's every place else you look, they're pushing $300.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job, Tracy.
And he just constantly throws links my way. Hey, look at this. Some of it is just interesting. Some of it is really cool. Sometimes it's like a 64 gigabyte thumb drive for $20. Huh. And thank God I don't control the money at my house, because thanks to Tracy, I'd be broke. No money at all, because he sends me some really cool stuff.
Okay.
Okay. This next one I'm going to throw out there, a guy named Unix Clubhouse, UNIX Clubhouse. Cool guy. I like his site. If you go to UnixClubhouse.com and you scroll down just a little bit, you will see Turtle Burgers. And if you've never heard of Turtle Burgers before, Steve,
no,
you will not forget them anytime soon. I'm just talking while I page down to find his entry for them. Next page, that's why. And voila. Delicious Turkey Burgers is the name of it. I'm going to put it in the public chat and go back and make sure it's in our chat. Real quick. It's a burger, but it's a mixture of, he said, some people do mixture of pork and ground beef, but it's basically that. You take bacon and you lattice it, so it's weaved, and then you put the burger inside and wrap it. And then for the head and the feet, you either have a sausage or a hot dog sticking out, so it looks like a little turtle. And he said, not shockingly, best burger he's ever had.
Really?
Well, come on. It's bacon and ground beef and hot dog or sausage. I mean, it has all the main food groups in it. How can it not be good?
I got to see your link here. Okay, I found it. There we go. Wow. Wow. I love how they lattice the bacon. Mm-hmm.
And then you just keep going down, dude, and you can see one fully cooked and ready to roll.
That's awesome. I love that thing, yeah, man. Incredibly unhealthy, but still
well,
cool.
Well, it all depends on your definition of healthy. I'll stop now. It looks good. it looks really tasty.
It does look good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Okay, over on Linux Basics, we were talking about changing content management systems, CMS. We were on, I don't even know what it was, a while ago. Then we were on TikiWiki. TikiWiki is not bad. That's what we're on now, but we have certain issues with it. Maybe it's us. Don't know, but we're having issues with it. So we were looking at changing CMSs.
No Drupal?
We're probably going to go with Drupal. But Unix Clubhouse, being Unix Clubhouse, says, I don't understand why everybody keeps going for WordPress or Drupal, because there is definite downsides. Now, if we go WordPress or Drupal, our site is technically a bigger target for bots that just scour the internet looking for exploits. It's true. So there is a pro to going with a less popular CMS.
For security.
For security. And to be honest, it's like Linux distros. Come to find out, there is a CMS out there to basically fit your exact need.
I see.
So he just found me this link on Freecode, which I'm going to sound incredibly incompetent being a Linux guy, but I've never heard of Freecode.com before. But he basically...
What's the name of the CMS?
Oh, no, that's a thing. There's over 110 projects on Freecode marked as CMS, content management systems. Among them are things like WordPress and Drupal. They are listed in here. But there's 110 different ones listed in here. So I encourage you out there, if you want to do your own CMS on your own website, look through this listing. It would not shock me if you find something really laser focused to get you fully done quicker. I'll say we're probably going with Drupal for two reasons. It's not just one person doing the site. Okay, it's a multitude of people doing the site. And the permissions in Drupal are utterly fine-grained, yet utterly in English. Okay? I can easily say Steve C has the ability to access the style, the appearance, and upload pictures, while Door-to-Door Geek has the ability to edit postings, while John Z has the ability to author a posting but not publish it, while Unix Clubhouse has the ability to maintain the packages and take down postings. I mean, you can get really ridiculous, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what Drupal allows you to do. So we're probably going to go with Drupal, but if it was just myself doing just the CMS, I might pick, I don't want to say I will. It wouldn't shock me if I would browse through this list and pick one of these things.
Yeah.
They look cool.
Yeah, they do look cool. Pretty neat. Thank you, Unix Clubhouse. Yeah. That's a lot of projects.
Yeah, and to be honest, he's just a really nice guy. Fortunately, he lives in Jersey, but, you know,
that is
we bad. All have our own cross to bear. I will say he did grow up in or around Baltimore, so he understands the value of a good steamed blue crab with Old Bay on it.
Oh, gosh, Old Bay. I haven't had that in forever.
Dude, let me tell you something. Just ask, Steve. I'll be happy to ship you down a box of it.
I think I could buy it here.
I don't know.
Haven't eaten it.
Too far south.
Really?
Oh, when I was a bachelor, I'm not going to lie, I would literally go to the store, buy a thing of corn on the cob, come home, put Old Bay on it, and make it. Nice. Old Bay and corn just so good together.
I haven't had that. I don't think ever. I got to try that.
Tasty. Just don't put too much on. But, you know. But right. You obviously know when it's too much because it's Old Bay. Okay. Yeah. After that rat hole. I honestly hear about a lot of software, especially when it comes to computer repair. Go figure. This is one I never heard of, okay? It's called Safe Copy, okay? This application does two things that most other applications either only do one or don't do either one, okay? Safe Copy has the ability to recover data off of, quote-unquote, any type of disk. I will say if it's a HFS plus disk higher than 2 terabytes, not 2 terabytes, I think it might be 2 terabytes, then it's going to, everything has issues with that just because that's the nature of the beast. But on any formatted disk, Safe Copy has the ability to recover data off of it, whether it's deleted or reformatted. But it A, does go out of its way to not change anything on that disk. Ooh. Just simply pull the data off, and it tries a multitude of different approaches, I'll say, to get the data off, where a lot of other things only try one or two different tricks.
Wow.
Yeah, and one thing I know this, I looked into it, this thing does have the ability to do, start at the beginning, get stopped, start at the end, get stopped, and then it can do an algorithm on what it cannot access, and it will, if it's small enough, make an assumption of what it will be. So you get a complete file. So if it's a long Word document, 20 pages, you know, page 1 to 11 might be fine. Page 11 might be garbage, but then 13 through 20 might be perfectly usable. It's better to get back something than nothing.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This seems like a great tool.
Yeah.
If anything you could get is better than nothing.
Well, and the thing I read on it also made it sound like this is Ginger on the drive. So if the drive is failing, this purposely goes out of its way to not be too rough, scan too much, or try repetitively on a bad sector.
And you just, not a distro, it is a utility. So you can install it on any Linux distro.
Yes. And I believe there was, in hindsight, I did have to look and find, there was 2 distros that had this on their live by default. One of them might have been System Rescue CD, but I'm not going to vouch on that one.
That's all right.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah. Now, we talked about games just a little bit, Steve. You know, I'm old and, you know, games are each kid. Well, this one to me looked good, even though it's a post-nuclear strategy game, which, you know, hey, we have a couple of them out here recently. This one's called Warzone 2100. And of course, the 2100 is supposed to be the year. And right. It's in beta 11. Okay. I will say this looks like the kind of game that to me is graphically pleasing enough where it can pull in some people. But by the reading about it, this sounds deep enough to where this can pull in the person with really bad OCD and satisfy them.
Is it that deep, really?
They made it sound like the level of depth in the surroundings, the area, and how you can manipulate individual objects, whether it be your own object or like non-player object, like a tree or building. But you could evolve your objects up in different ways. You know, it's honestly hard to explain. The only way I can explain it is CNC back in the day, you could have upgrades to your engineers and stuff. Well, it was only one way you could go. This one made it sound like there were different options to where it could actually change the overall gameplay.
Wow.
So this looks like it could be cool. Could be cool.
Pretty neat. Sure.
Got to wait and see, of course. And with Steam on the horizon, other games are now going to have to do even better just to hang on.
Yeah, serious.
I think we've been going a little bit. So here's just a super quickie. Access your Firefox and Chromium or Chrome web history with a Unity lens. Once again, this is the thing. If you do not like Unity, don't listen to me because I don't want to be the guy that made you try Unity again because this sounds usable. But this sounds usable. And I actually tried it on this computer over here and it found it to be quite easy to use.
What is it?
With the browser not open, okay, you hit your start key or power key, whatever they want to call it. Open up the Unity lens interface, and then on the bottom, you have a little globe icon. You click on that globe icon, and now everything you type is actually searching your web history and your bookmarks. So hypothetically, I wanted to look up turkey burgers. As long as I looked at it on that computer before, hit the button, hit the globe, start typing turkey, and what will pop up in my list is that web page. I click it, it loads that browser right up to that page.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Definitely something I can see someone basically getting accustomed to.
I agree. The problem I see with this is when I go to web pages by accident, or I'm checking out a bunch of web pages and a lot of them are crap. You actually have to go to the web page to find out it's crap. So are those going to be stored in your history now?
Yes, everything is. Now, I will say the only way around that I have found is in Google search results, highlight the result on the right, hit the double arrows, and then you can get a modest preview in the browser before you ever go to the page. Sometimes it's good enough, sometimes it isn't. And then I will say, if you click on the cached in that little side panel, you will not go to that page, so it will not. It will, in your browser history, look like a Google result, not the actual web page. That's the only way at my 9-to-5 I've been able to keep my history clean, let's say.
I see.
I digress.
All right. Cool, man. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Let's do some emails.
Cool.
First email is from Kevin O'Brien. It's an audio promo for Linux Fest. I don't have it set up. For some reason, my phone doesn't want to download an OGG file. I'll do it next week. So let me mark that for next week. Next one is from Tim. He says, regarding don't waste aliasing clear as C, episode number 92. I don't know what that means. Anyway, he says, just use Control L. Also, you can use the history command to see what commands you use regularly in case you want to look for commonly used commands. A couple other command line tips. You can use Alt period to insert the last item on your previous command line. So if you type something like mv/source/file/long/destination/path, you can type CD Alt plus period to change into the last thing you typed. Saves a bunch of typing. This is a much easier email read than listened to, so maybe we'll put this in the show notes or something. Anyway, he says you can also use the FC command to pull up your editor and edit the last command line you issued. That's from Tim. Tim, sorry, that's hard to translate into me reading, especially with all the dollar signs and slashes, but I'm sure that's very useful. Dorn, did I forward that to
yes,
you?
Yes, and I will say, Tim, where were you at like 6 years ago when I first used Linux? Nobody told me about Control and L. Ever. Okay, ever.
What does it do?
It clears my screen. I hate having jumbled screen. I like having at least a clean interface to type. So it's easier if I have to go back and forth to know where I'm at. I mean, I'm not halfway down the screen with it. It's garbage. So now I just hit Control and L and clear it. I had no idea. No idea.
Well, there you go,
so, Tim, I owe you a beer.
Nice. Next one is from Denning. Hello, Steve. In a previous show, Dor talked about how many other Raspberry Pi-like devices were coming out. Well, we have another one that can run both Android and Linux. How cool is that? Here's the link. And it's the one that's Odroid. Is it Odroid X? Mm-hmm. He found it on geek.com. We talked about this one, actually, in one of the episodes, probably after he wrote this. Or before he wrote this. He says, I don't know if this belongs to Android App Addicts or Linux for the rest of us. It fits on this show. Geek.com Odroid-X is the name of the device. And we did talk about it. It looks cool. It's interesting that it has an IDE port on it.
Who talked about it?
I think you did, man. Nope. You didn't?
This is one, honestly, I didn't talk about. See, this is where I said there are going to be too many to talk about here soon. This is kind of it. This thing, let me tell you.
Are you sure, man?
Positive.
Are you sure?
Positive.
You're positive.
No Odroid. Positive because my buddy at work, James, who listened to this, posted like 8 videos back to back to back to back to back to back on YouTube of this the day after our last cast. This frigging device is almost insane at the level of stuff it can do for only $129. This to me is pushing the $200 to $300 computer functions, what it can do.
Really? It's got 6 USB ports.
Yep, it does. It has...
And an IDE slot.
It has a lot of ports on it besides IDE.
What's with the IDE?
Well, old hard drives? I don't know.
Why?
Because there is.
Why have IDE on this?
Well, okay. It has... Okay, here's a list of at least some of them. 6 USB 2.0 ports, Ethernet jack, audio in and out, SD card reader, micro HDMI, and I know there's at least one or two more ports on this thing. This one is the one that easily can run Ubuntu 12.04 ARM edition. And if you look at the videos down on the bottom here on this page on geek.com, at least, man, this thing can literally replace a fair amount of people's computer. Granted, maybe not yours or mine, Steve, but it can replace at least some people's computer.
Wow. You know, it looks like that IDE slot is a video output or something, because I'm looking at the graphic of this video below
it. PCI Express slot, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. It's not for hooking up hard drives, I would assume.
It does look like one, though, doesn't it, Steve? Wait a minute, let me see.
They got some kind of card coming out of there, another circuit board.
Yeah, you're right. An IDE interface.
It doesn't say it in the description, though. It's weird.
Well, no,
it doesn't say anything about IDE in the article.
Well, I'm sure. Okay, this has HDMI. I'm sure the video on the screen is coming out that HDMI.
Yeah.
Which then, I don't know what is coming out that other port, but it does look like a big card. And then on the second video, they're showing them play what I believe is Super Mario Kart.
Yes.
And it looks like it's running pretty dang good, as I almost say. And the kid does have, at least one of them, has a legitimate controller while he's playing. Dude. This is the kind of thing that makes me, like, super, super giddy. You know? I mean, $129 is definitely more than the other solutions, but it looks good.
But it's a computer. You're getting a computer out of the deal. Neat. Hey, you know, if you see a use for one in your studio, then you got some Kickstarter funds to buy one with. All right. Thank you, Denning. This next one is from Daniel. He says, greetings, Steve C. and Steve M. I've been listening to Linux for the Rest of Us podcast for the past couple months. I enjoy listening for informative and entertaining discussion of everything Linux. I currently work as an IT administrator for a company in Orange County, LA. We administer dozens of servers, mainly based on Fedora. At home, I'm using a mid-2011 Mac Mini as our family computer and home media server. I also enjoy using Linux for its lightweight footprint and flexibility. On my MSI Win netbook, I'm running a custom mini install of Ubuntu 12.04 with XFCE desktop. My interest peaked with your discussion of the new MacBook Pro with Retina display. Being an Apple fan, I tend to lean towards Steve C's opinions, although I respect Steve M's opinions as well. All right, dude. Dora, I got a point.
Yeah, you got a point.
It's my first point, I think. I enjoy using both Mac and Linux systems. They are like distant cousins since they both have Unix roots. I would rather have both Mac and Linux OS gain market share over the dominant Windows on the desktop the way that Apple iOS and Google Android currently dominate the mobile space. That's my two cents. Keep up the great work. It's from Daniel. Yeah, that's well spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Really, Dora? Nothing on that?
No, well, first off, I got to say, working where he works sounds like cool. I mean, IT administrator, Orange County, LA. I don't know if you can get better climate. And then he's adminning dozens of servers that are based on Fedora. I don't want to say that's a dream job for me, but that kind of sound like dream job for me. and I will say, I have said in the past, if Mac blinked off the face of the planet, we as non-Mac user, I would suffer. Because I believe with Windows and Mac in competition, and me as a Linux guy in three-way competition, it only makes everything better, period.
I agree. You know,
and I did find out
they all have their strengths and, you know, ideas that motivate the others to do something.
Exactly. And without that,
Dora, check your Google Hangout and make sure it's not telling you to go to sleep.
Nope, not yet.
It's going too just soon. Okay. Second. What are you going to say?
And just real quick, I did get some of the specs on that Odroid X. First time I saw it, really quick, I totally ignored it because I thought it was Droid X. Somebody just mistyped Droid X. I already have a Droid X. I don't have a Droid X. It's stupid. Okay. 1.4 gigahertz quad core processor.
Jeez.
It's not your regular processor. It's a Samsung Exynos 4412 processor, whatever. But it's still good. A gigabyte of RAM, 400 gigahertz, not gigahertz, megahertz GPU. Comes standard with Android 404 ICS and supports 1204. 6 USB ports, micro USB port, micro HDMI port for 1080p video output. Standard 3.5 headphone and mic jack, 50-pin I/O expansion port. It looks to me like IDE, like just exactly what you said. 10 100 Ethernet jack, so it's not gigabyte, full SD card slot, and optional external display and webcam are available.
That's so awesome.
That's cool.
That is very cool. Go Odroid. Might have to pick up one of those babies. Last email is from Lance. He says, hey, Dor, not too long ago, I emailed Android App Addicts to ask for recommendations on apps for project management. I loved the suggestions, especially the one about an online project management solution. That one got me really thinking. But before I get into my thought, a little background is in order. I hate to admit this, but I feel that you will understand. I was an Apple fan. It still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I had to have everything Apple, iPod, Mac, MacBook, the works. I am not proud of this dark time in my life. But then reality chimed in when I dropped my MacBook and cracked the screen. They told me that it was going to be around $300 to fix it. I didn't have that I didn't have the money for that. And at the time, that was the only computer I had. I had a growing family now, two kids, and money was tight. I sat in a dark corner after having been thrown to the curb by Apple. Okay, let me stop here. That's not too bad for a screen replacement. That's kind of what people charge, I think. Even PCs, you know? So in my shop, I didn't, but most shops, they charge around that. That's not that crazy is what I'm saying, okay? But I'm sure he's got more, so let me go back to the email. Having been thrown to the curb by Apple and realized that all this time I had been getting ripped off. I had to have everything Apple and it was costing me. Then something happened. Something I didn't expect. Linux. Oh, sure, I had installed Ubuntu on my MacBook before, but it was really just a novelty. At the time, I thought, I don't need this. I have Mac OS X. I didn't realize that a transformation had started. I was slowly getting tired of being locked down by my then captors. I had heard the Linux call. I started learning geeky things like how to use the command line on the Mac. I revisited programming and started programming Mac apps, but no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't satisfy my need for freedom while using my Mac. Then it happened. I had hit rock bottom. My MacBook was gone and I didn't know what to do until I heard the call again. This time I answered. I looked up how much it would cost to build your own PC and was shocked. I was overpaying for my hardware by an order of magnitude. So I saved my money and built a PC, then installed Linux Mint 12. I am so happy with my newfound freedom. I haven't looked back. I can geek out to no end on Linux. Now, that's good. And I mean, that's, Dor, you would think you would like that, right?
Yes, but one thing I encourage about the fact is do not feel bad of anything you used. Anything you used made you a better computer user and made you understand computers better. I don't care what you used in the past. I don't care what you use now. Just don't stop learning. And if that was the way you learned in the past, don't feel bad about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's interesting how you found Linux and you were able to, you know, when you're forced to be put in that situation and compare the advantages and disadvantages of both and the price factor. Yeah, I mean, that's thank God for Linux.
Well, right? Yeah, and I'll say, like you say, there's no other better way to learn than when you have to learn. When you got a young family starting up and you don't have money, you don't have a choice. You're going to find a way to play that Flash game. You're going to find your way. You have to find, you don't have a choice. And for those kind of people, you know, they're limited, man. They don't have a lot of things they can do.
Yeah, but he sounds like he figured it out. It's very cool. Yep.
Well, there's a follow-up to his email. I don't know if I sent you that, too.
Yeah, he says, now to my thought/question. And I didn't read the there might be a follow-up, too. But he says, to fill my needs as an electrical foreman, I was thinking of buying a Raspberry Pi, installing a lamp stack on it, and building a time and material tracking database. Then I could build a web front end and make it mobile friendly so I can access my info from my phone just by having my server with me. That's pretty interesting. I would just put it on a server connected to the internet and access it through my phone's 3G, but some of my jobs are out in the middle of nowhere. So my question is, are there any open source project management server applications that have a mobile friendly web front end that I could run on a Raspberry Pi, or are there any templates for a lamp stack that do what I need? I could start from scratch, but I figured that if there was already something out there, why not use it? And I will have to learn how to do everything I describe. I really don't mind learning that stuff. I intend to either way. I would just like this to be up sooner rather than later. Thanks for all the help. Love the shows you make slash are in. Oh, love the shows you make slash are in. Keep up the good work. From Lance. P.S. Feel free to read this on one of your shows if you'd like. Thank you very much, Lance. That was a awesome email, and thanks for giving a little bit of history. Interesting story. I felt like I was right there with you as you were going through your pain. It's cool that you found Linux. Dor, what do you got to say about this one?
Okay. I had two Raspberry Pis. I gave one away. I'm sending this one to Lance, okay? Because he has the absolute right idea, okay? Basically, he can have a car charger in his car, okay? When he gets to a client's place, he can literally plug up the car charger to that, put the Raspberry Pi on the dash, walk around to where he needs to go, Wi-Fi connect back to that Raspberry Pi, access that server through a web page just like it's out on the great World Wide Web.
Wow, that's really cool.
And do his stuff. So I'm definitely sending him my Pi. Because I'm coming into a little bit of money here, I asked him if he could wait 2 weeks because he does not have a USB adapter and I believe it was a SD card either. He said he didn't have one available. So I want to get him a high-speed Class 10 16 gig SD card, which is really now cheap but super fast. I know two people that have them on their Raspberry Pis and they swear it makes it seem twice as fast versus your standard cheap SD card. And I want to make sure I get him a USB Wi-Fi a adapter that is truthfully Linux friendly. So if he wants to do something else, when he installs that new one, it's just going to work. He doesn't have to work for hours trying to get it to work.
Damn, man. You just keep giving. That's pretty amazing.
He has truthfully, in my eyes, really good objectives and goals behind this.
I think this is a killer idea as well. So that's a nice one, Lance. Yeah.
So I found this for him. I honestly didn't send it to him yet because I literally found it maybe 20 minutes.
What, a gold-plated case for his Raspberry Pi?
No, Steve. Okay.
What?
It's called QDPM. And what it is, it's okay. Free web-based project management software, PHP MySQL. It looks like we can, because I'm going to help him out where I can, freely download this and put it on our own LAMP stack. And if you go to the demo on the top link there, I believe I put it in the notes, you can actually, on the fly, test out what this system is like and how it's going to work. They give you usernames and passwords for the administrator, the client, the developer, and for root access to it. So he could literally have it in his car and have a coworker only have limited access to it. So, you know, he might be the overall boss, but Bob only has the ability to do certain tasks in this project management system.
Huh.
So, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I can't believe this can all be done with like a Pi and a phone.
Well, you know.
That's pretty awesome.
Just wait, Steve. It's only going to get more mind-blowing as time goes on.
Yeah, I think you're right. Cool. Well, that is all the emails for this week. Like I said, I got Kevin's Ohio Linux Fest audio promo. We're going to play that next week. And that's all we got. So, Dor, any last comments for the folks where people could find you and anything else you want to say?
Mask, iDuplex, whatever. No, I'm not getting a new MacBook. Okay, real quick. Listeners out there, if part of the reason you do not listen to Android App Addicts on the Podnuts Network is you're deranged, there's no help for you. But if it is because you do not have an Android device, let me encourage you. Thursday night, I don't even know what date it's going to be, Steve, because I don't have it in front of me. We're going to announce.
How many weeks from now?
Well, this next show, the 26th.
It would be 26th.
The 26th of July, we're going to announce a giveaway of an Android device with a couple accessories. You do not have to own Android or be an Android developer or hacker to win this contest. We are going to make sure anyone can get it. I only want to make sure whoever wins it actually needs it, wants it, or has a son, daughter, cousin, brother that really does need this kind of thing. So if you
or a cat,
or cat or that a cat. Really needs that Voxer t-shirt. So podnox.com/live Thursday night, 9 p.m. We're going to announce it. We'll probably have the contest go on for like a month, I'm going to say, just to make sure people can contact us. But if you need yourself an Android device with a car mount, car charger, belt clip, case, yada, 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 listen to that show. I will say, well, more details Thursday. It's not an extremely new brand spanking quad core beast. It's just an Android phone.
It's a workable device. And no purchase necessary to enter the
contest. No purchase necessary. No one's excluded, whether you're in Afghanistan, Antarctica, or Jersey. And if the federal government doesn't like the fact that I'm not limiting it to the U.S. or whatever, I don't care. Come get me.
Yeah, come get Dor. That's going to be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that, too. So, yeah, definitely tune in. You can find Dor at doortodoorgeek.com. Any other places they can find you, Dor?
To be honest, the one-stop shop is doortodoorgeek.com. But do not forget,
good.
Honestly, Linux Basics, Pod Brewers, Droid Nation, Android App Addicts. You know, I have fun with all of them.
Very cool. You guys know where to find Dor by now, I hope. And if you guys want to send in emails, send them to mail@podnuts.com, or you could send Dor emails direct if you want to just go straight to the man at doortodoorgeek@podnuts.com. Send us a voicemail, too. We haven't got voicemails in a while, I don't think, unless it's Jeff razzing me about an iPad or something of the sort. So call 7076-PODNUT on a phone. 7076-PODNUT will get you the voicemail. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. That's going to be it for this week. See you next time.